Hello, and welcome to Western Veterinary Perspectives. This podcast, produced by the Western Canadian Animal Health Network, is intended to share information about animal health and infectious disease risks with veterinarians and producers in Western Canada. In this episode, we'll be discussing zoonotic bovine diseases, diseases that can be shared between cattle and humans. These should be on the radar for anyone who works regularly with cattle or with calves, producers and veterinarians alike. My name is Dr. Kate Todd, and today I'll be speaking with Dr. Sylvia Checkley, an associate professor in ecosystem and public health at the University of Calgary. Dr. Checkley's research spans a wide range from cattle health management to ecosystem and One Health projects. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Checkley.
Thank you very much for having me.
So as we all know, farming life and raising animals, it often entails exposure to a fair amount of dirt and manure, even just while we go about cleaning the barns and our handling facilities. What can you tell us about some of the ways that people might be exposed to diseases through their work with cattle?
Okay, as you said, diseases that are shared by humans and animals are called zoonotic diseases. And we often think of zoonotic diseases being transmitted from animals to people, but sometimes the reverse is true. For example, elephants have been infected with human TB by their handlers. Diseases are spread different ways. Fluids can spread disease-causing bacteria or viruses, and this includes milk, fluids from birthing, or droplets from the respiratory tract. We have heard a lot about respiratory droplets, aerosols, and airborne transmission of disease with respect to COVID-19. The heavier respiratory droplets are those from coughing, sneezing, and singing, and they usually travel less than 2 meters in distance. And this is how most respiratory viruses are spread. Airborne transmission occurs when bacteria or viruses travel in smaller droplets and become aerosolized. People can inhale the infectious droplets into their lungs, and smaller aerosolized particles can get caught up in airflows with dust and move throughout a space, infecting people at further distances. There are some diseases like ringworm, which is a skin disease, that are spread by direct contact from touching the lesion or spread by indirect contact through another object like a brush. When a disease is spread by another inanimate object, the object is called a fomite, and you might hear this referred to as fomite spread. Fecal oral transmission is when disease-causing agents are passed from one animal or person through manure or feces to the mouth of another animal or person. And then another form of transmission is vector-borne disease, where the disease is spread by a vector such as a tick, fly, midge, or flea. A well-known example of this is Lyme disease spread, which is spread by black-legged ticks. Lyme disease has been shown to affect people and a number of animal species, which includes cattle. In cattle, it's been associated with a broad range of symptoms such as fever, stiffness, swollen joints, laminitis, and abortion has even been reported. The tick picks up the bacteria Borrelia burgdorferi that causes Lyme disease by biting an infected animal and spreads it to a non-infected animal or person. People cannot get this disease directly from infected animals, only from the ticks that bite animals and humans. Early signs of Lyme disease in people include a rash at the site of the original tick bite that might look like a target or a bullseye, and the rash often expands and can become quite large. Other signs and symptoms include fever, chills, fatigue, headache, swollen nodes, and muscle and joint aches. Lyme disease is only carried by these black-legged ticks, and not all the ticks actually have the bacteria that cause Lyme disease. It's only if they bite an infected animal or person first. The ticks are not common all across Canada, although they are found in some areas, and not all of the black-legged ticks carry the bacteria, as I mentioned. This might change as climate change occurs and ticks may expand into new areas. Canada does have a tick surveillance program to continually assess this.
So are there certain types of zoonotic disease that might be more prevalent in different temperatures or different seasons, or perhaps in different production systems?
There is definitely a seasonality to disease exposure associated with the seasonality of activities that we undertake at different times of the year. So in Western Canada, calving and cow-calf operations is largely in the spring, making this a high-risk time period for people working with cattle. Spring runoff also might allow for greater exposure to bacteria and viruses that are spread in manure. In general, as animals are spread out on pasture, we see less disease as there's less opportunities for disease transmission between animals, more space between animals, no ventilation problems, and we have the positive effect of sunlight drying fecal contaminated areas that might be damp, as well as there's more vitamin A. There is also less handling of sick animals and animals in general when they're out on pasture, meaning less transmission of zoonotic diseases to people. In dairy production, there's less seasonality, of course, because we don't have these activities like calving confined to the springtime.
So I know we work to keep our barns and handling facilities very clean and with good ventilation to minimize respiratory diseases, because these steps can help to decrease exposure to all sorts of pathogens for our cattle. What disinfectants and cleaning steps would be helpful for producers to include in regular use, just so that they can minimize exposure of humans to disease and to maximize the health of their cattle?
So when cleaning facilities, it's really important to first remove all of the manure, straw, blood, feed materials from the surfaces, and then use a detergent to clean them. So you need to shovel and scrape and generally clean the area first. If possible, you could then spray with a high pressure hose to remove any further debris. And then it's really important to scrub all the surfaces with a small brush and a detergent, like a type of soap, to make sure you've removed all of even microscopic particles, if possible. After everything is clean, you can apply the disinfectant to all the surfaces for the appropriate contact time for that disinfectant, which is about a minute for Peroxaguard, a commonly used disinfectant, or up to 10 minutes with Vercon, another really good disinfectant that's pretty broad spectrum. There's other surfaces that can be really difficult to clean, such as corrals. Important to scrape, get down to the soil, and possibly even take the top layer of soil off, but get all that old bedding out of there so that the area can be open to sunlight and dry. The other technique we can use is, after we've done all these things, to also have a rest period before new animals are introduced to the area. Because again, that dryness and sunlight really helps to get rid of some of the bacteria at least.
Thanks. Those are all excellent suggestions. I guess it basically doesn't make sense just to spray disinfectant over a dirty surface, right? That's a big take-home message, I think.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of disinfectants are deactivated by manure or other types of dirt.
So to get into our discussion about specific diseases, what can you tell us about zoonotic respiratory diseases of cattle?
There are some diseases of cattle that are zoonotic that are spread by respiratory means. And one of the big ones would be tuberculosis. And TB or tuberculosis was in the news a lot a few years ago related to a big tuberculosis investigation in Alberta. Canada is considered free of bovine TB, but occasionally we have these investigations because it might be imported in or it might flare up for some other reason. TB is a slowly progressive disease in cattle. It's caused by the bacterium Mycobacterium bovis, and this bacteria can lie dormant in an infected animal for years and not cause any clinical signs. Then, for some reason, the animal's immunosuppressed or maybe just stressed, and the disease progresses, and you might see weight loss, lack of appetite, weakness, and a low-grade fever. If their lungs are infected, the animals will have a cough and maybe difficulty breathing. And sometimes the guts are infected and animals may have diarrhea or constipation. Often this disease isn't noticed until slaughter, where at the slaughterhouse, the meat inspectors notice abnormal nodules in different parts of the body, and then they investigate further and find out it's TB. Bovine TB can cause a condition in people that's similar to the human type of TB. Similar to cattle, infected people may show no signs, or they can have a chest and lung infection that can cause fever, pain, and a cough. And they might even cough up blood. And also, sometimes it spreads to other parts of the body, such as the kidney, spine, or brain. TB is often transmitted through milk, but it can more rarely be transmitted through respiratory droplets. So people working in really close contact with infected animals could have the disease transmitted that way. And even more rarely, it could be transmitted through some sort of cut on the skin.
And what about COVID-19? Do people and cattle share this disease?
So in the early stages, there were experimental studies done with cattle and lots of other species of animal to try and understand which animals were at risk. And those, I think at least three different studies show that cattle are pretty resistant to the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19. We do have to be a little careful though, because that doesn't mean that will hold true with all of the different variants, but that's what we know so far. Cattle have not been shown to get sick from the virus either. So I guess researchers will need to stay on top of this as potentially different variants of COVID-19 emerge.
So I guess then we'll move on to a different route of transmission. You mentioned that route that's called fecal-oral, which would involve exposure to manure. And manure management is always a big part of farming. Can you tell us about some diseases that might be spread by human contact with manure from cattle?
Sure. Again, this fecal-oral route of transmission is where the disease-causing agent, the virus or bacteria, passes from, in this case, probably the animal to the human through some sort of contamination of some material and into the mouth of the person. So the common factors in fecal-oral transmission are often called the 5 Fs: fingers, flies, fields, fluids, and food. So the disease might go from the feces indirectly to the next animal or person through contamination of water, food, or even chewing gum, if you're chewing gum or eating in the same area where feces are being splashed. So some of the diseases that can be transmitted through this route are salmonellosis, cryptosporidiosis, and E. coli, which is sometimes called colibacillosis. These are all common diseases in baby calves and some of the causes of calf scours. They can all cause watery diarrhea, straining, lack of appetite, weight loss, and often a really severe dehydration leading to death of the calf. People can also get this mild to severe watery diarrhea, what are often described as really severe abdominal cramps. They don't want to eat, they don't feel well, they're nauseous, emit of gas, and just don't feel very well. Salmonella and E. coli more commonly also cause chills, fever, muscle pain, and sometimes a bloody diarrhea. There are different types of E. coli and some specific types of E. coli that produce sugar toxins. For example, one you might have heard of is E. coli 015787. It could also cause a condition called hemolytic uremic syndrome, which can lead to kidney failure. And it's most common in young children or perhaps elderly or people who are immunosuppressed. And prevention strategies to try and prevent this type of transmission would include washing hands, wearing gloves, keeping boots outside the house so they don't contaminate things inside the home, wash dirty clothes separately, be careful washing clothes that you don't get it on your hands and contaminate yourself, and being careful with runoff, so make sure manure doesn't leach into groundwater or, you know, other areas where people might directly be exposed to it.
So we'll move on to the realm of reproduction, because reproduction and handling of both pregnant cows and calves, it's also a huge part of cattle production. What diseases should we keep in mind when we are breeding or calving out cows, or when we're handling newborn calves?
There are several diseases that are more of a concern during the calving process. For instance, Q fever is caused by the bacteria Coxiella burnetii. And it can cause abortion, stillbirths, and weak newborn calves. In people, this can cause, again, flu-like illness, coughing, nausea, and vomiting. And the really important part is rarely it can cause miscarriage in pregnant women. So pregnant women need to be really careful around animals that are aborting and around calvings in general. Ways to prevent transmission of Q fever are washing hands, protective gear, such as gloves, and potentially a mask or a respirator and eye protection, especially if you know you have Q fever or you're around animals that are aborting. And again, especially for pregnant women. It is known that this bacteria can be spread in the wind, so don't spread manure on windy days. And it also can be transmitted through milk that is not pasteurized. So again, we have to be really careful with unpasteurized milk. Another disease is leptospirosis, and it can be spread through these same fluids associated with calving, as well as urine and contaminated water. Water usually gets contaminated by urine. Lepto can cause abortions, decreased calving rates, stillbirths, and poor doing calves. And it can also cause anemia, which is low red blood cells. In humans, it can cause fever, chills, headaches, muscle aches, and pains in the early phases, but it can lead to severe problems such as neurological disease or kidney failure. And the prevention, again, is washing hands, wearing personal protective equipment like gloves, masks, eye protection, coveralls, cover wounds so these infected water or urine can't transmit directly through your open wound, and control rodents around the farm.
So for growing calves in young stock, what specific conditions should we keep in mind when we're feeding or cleaning out pens or hutches? Calves involve frequent feeding and care, and I know often younger farmhands may help with these tasks. Are there anything about zoonotic diseases that we need to consider, maybe specifically for these younger farmhands?
I guess one more thing to mention is with respect to contaminated water, it is also important to try and drain standing water and make sure we avoid that water contaminating other areas like groundwater or other feeds or products for the animal. So children, as well as elderly and immunosuppressed, are more susceptible to most diseases. And this is true on the farm or ranch as well. They do need to wear proper protective gear. So in the summer, not open-toed shoes so that their skin becomes contaminated. It's important to teach kids to wash well and to wash properly when they come in from their chores, making sure they use soap and water and scrub their hands long enough. And actually that they dry afterwards. Some diseases like Cryptosporidia, it is very susceptible to drying, but it can be transmitted in wet areas if it's on the hands. So again, drying is important. You can try to teach kids not to touch contaminated surfaces when not necessary. Dirty clothes can be removed so kids don't touch them again after washing. And again, we can try and teach them not to touch their eyes, nose, and mouth with their unwashed hands. And I guess just going back to that idea about standing water, I mean, kids like to play in puddles. So again, be really careful around the young ones that they're not in puddles that could be contaminated with feces or urine.
Are there any conditions of cattle that can be spread by skin contact to people?
Yes, there are. A ringworm is one of the main ones that we worry about. But there are a few other ones like Dermatophilus congolensis, which can also spread through directly touching the skin. It's fairly rare though, but it can cause pustules on the hands and forearms of people. And on cattle, we often see sort of a paintbrush type crusting of the hair on their back or in areas that are damp. So we prevent this by simply washing hands, wearing gloves, covering our wounds to not allow direct contact with the bacteria. I should speak a bit more about ringworm. Ringworm often looks like a bare circular lesion with crusting around the edges, and it can look very similar on people. Occasionally, it becomes much more extensive on people. And again, we prevent this by wearing gloves and covering our skin that might have any sort of abrasions on it.
So very occasionally, we might see some cattle that show signs of neurologic diseases or diseases that affect the brain. So these types of signs could include things like circling or head pressing, maybe shivering or blindness. They might be weak or poorly coordinated, or maybe doing some weird bawling noises or drooling. I think we'd be probably lax in our professional veterinary duties here if we didn't mention a major zoonotic disease or two that might cause neurologic signs in cattle. What's the red flag in these types of scenarios?
I mean, the first thing we always think with neurologic disease is rabies, and we have to always keep that at the top of our minds because it is 100% fatal in humans if humans actually become ill with the disease. There actually maybe is a few recent abilities to treat the disease somewhat, but a really, really terrible disease. So cattle with rabies can present two different ways. Most commonly, they show symptoms of a progressive paralysis. It often starts with the animal salivating heavily, and it might look like it has something stuck in its throat. People have often stuck their hands into the mouth of animals with these symptoms, thinking there is something stuck and trying to get it out. But because rabies is transmitted by contact of saliva through bites or through cuts in the skin, they often can cut their hand when they're doing something like this, and generally post-exposure treatment will be required to try and prevent them from getting rabies. So in this kind of case, it's always important to wear protective gear. Remember that rabies is possibly a cause of these symptoms, and remember to talk to your veterinarian, have a close relationship with your veterinarian to have this animal looked at. Rabies can also present in cattle with the furious form. And that form of the disease is more commonly what we see in dogs, where the animal is really aggressive, restless, and tremors. And dogs try to bite, which is a common way the disease is transmitted with dogs. Another neurologic disease that we should be concerned about are some toxins like lead toxicity. So animals can be exposed to lead through grazing around old buildings or even grazing the grass where old buildings have been burned down. Areas where old batteries that contain lead are dumped on the ground or under old cars. Lead poisoning itself is not zoonotic, but it is a foodborne disease. If you have an animal that's affected by lead poisoning, it's not safe to eat that meat. And it's important to see your veterinarian for proper management. They can do testing and determine whether the animal is safe or not to enter the human food chain.
What would be the top zoonotic diseases in beef production systems to be aware of? And how can we prevent human exposure to these diseases?
Well, I'd like to highlight two types of diseases, I guess. In general, the diseases that cause diarrhea in people and animals are common, and we should be very aware of these and try and prevent this transmission. People can become very sick and dehydrated, just like the scouring calves. We can try and prevent transmission of those diseases by washing hands, wearing gloves, keeping boots outside the house, laundering our dirty clothes separately, being careful with our manure management. And when we're treating these baby calves, it's especially important to be aware of all these things. So the gloves and the outerwear protection. The other type of diseases that I worry a lot about are those that can cause illness or miscarriage in pregnant women. And I really encourage pregnant women to take extra care around calvings, abortions, and weak newborn calves. If someone else is available to help with abortion cases in cows, that would definitely be best. If a pregnant woman is involved, and even people in general with those diseases, it is important to wear a mask or a respirator and an eye protection, as well as the gloves and the outerwear, to make sure fluids don't splash into the face.
And then what about if we move into the dairy world? What zoonotic pathogens should we consider that relate to milk and milk production? I remember fondly drinking milk from the tank after early morning milkings and having some of that in my coffee. Is this something that perhaps could present a concern?
Oh, it absolutely is, Dr. Todd. In Canada, pasteurization became law to try and protect the general public from diseases like brucellosis and tuberculosis, both of which are zoonotic and caused a lot of disease in humans about 100 years ago. Brucellosis, we've already talked about tuberculosis or TB. Brucellosis is caused by the bacteria Brucella abortus, and it is still a major zoonotic disease in many countries around the world. And again, it can be killed by pasteurization or even simply boiling the milk. Infected cattle herds are plagued with abortions, stillbirths, and retained placentas, infected placentas, and infections of the reproductive tract of the bull as well. People who get brucellosis have symptoms like headache, fever, fatigue, chills, and this can become chronic with symptoms that wax and wane. People can develop bone and joint infections as well. And it can also cause abortion or premature birth and infections of the male reproductive tract in people as well. So to try and prevent brucellosis, we try and prevent transmission by washing hands, wearing gloves, controlling rodents, using foot baths, and keeping children and vulnerable or the most vulnerable people away from animals and their feces. Other diseases that can be transmitted by milk and prevented by pasteurization are salmonellosis, listeriosis. And I was involved in an outbreak of salmonellosis on a dairy farm where people did eat the raw milk, and one of the people did become ill with salmonellosis. So a home pasteurizer unit is often a good idea if you do drink raw milk.
I know biosecurity is pretty much a constant refrain when we're talking about the health of animal populations, but are there specific biosecurity protocols or maybe just other general protocols that you'd suggest to help protect the health of humans who are working in cattle production?
Sure. I think I've said these numerous times, but I want to say them again. It's important to wash your hands frequently, especially when coming in from outside. Wearing personal protective equipment, such as gloves, masks, eye protection, outerwear, as appropriate. Be careful to manage manure and runoff carefully on your farm. And lastly, have a close relationship with your veterinarian to talk about these strategies and make sure they're specific for dealing with situations on your operation.
Thanks very much, Dr. Checkley, for sharing your perspectives with us on these zoonotic diseases of cattle. There's quite a few helpful points here that should help to keep both cattle and the people who work with them healthy. For more information, veterinarians and producers can join the beef or the dairy networks of the Western Canadian Animal Health Network for regular updates on animal health in their sectors. And you can find this information online at wecan.ca.